major U.S. indexes ended the day down as investors assess the threat of the new Omicron variant.
We're only 3 days into this one in terms of Wall Street's reacting to this particular variant. And I think there's going to be a little while until we see how significant this pullback is.
And why the Fed is weighing a faster wind down of bond purchases. Plus, why the latest real estate craze is virtual. It's Tuesday, November 30th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says the central bank will discuss a faster wind down of its $120 billion asset purchase program due to inflation concerns at its next meeting. Hastening the program, which is currently scheduled to end next June, would open the door to raising interest rates in the first half of next year. Appearing before the Senate Banking Committee today, Powell said that forecasters expect inflation to decrease as supply and demand imbalances abate.
It's difficult to predict the persistence and effects of supply constraints, but it now appears that factors pushing inflation upward will linger well into next year. In addition, with the rapid improvement in the labor market, slack is diminishing and wages are rising at a brisk pace.
The Fed is navigating difficult waters. The surge in inflation is threatening to become more unpredictable with the spread of the new COVID-19 variant Omicron. Stocks tumbled and bond yields jumped after Powell's comments. We'll have more on the impact of Omicron and inflation on markets later in the show. In an interview with The Wall Street Journal, BioNTech co-founder Ugur Sahin says although the Omicron variant could lead to more infections among vaccinated people, they'll most likely remain protected from severe disease. He also encouraged getting a booster shot. Sahin's comments come after the CEO of Moderna told the Financial Times that he expects current vaccines to be less effective at tackling Omicron. Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration could authorize the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 booster for 16 and 17-year-olds as soon as next week, according to a person familiar with the plans. Former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows has agreed to appear for a deposition before the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, complying with a congressional subpoena request. The panel says Meadows has also produced records which he had previously refused to turn over to the committee. Lawyers for former President Donald Trump have tried to stop the release of some of his presidential papers. And Twitter says it will ban users from sharing private photos and videos of another person without consent. The company says it will begin removing such content next week if the person depicted or an authorized representative reports that it has been shared without permission. The announcement comes a day after Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey announced he was stepping down as the company's CEO. Other social media platforms have also made moves recently to better protect users' privacy. Meta, formerly known as Facebook, said earlier this month that it would shut down the social network's facial recognition system. Coming up, how markets are responding to the threat of the Omicron variant.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. Oracle.com/wallstreet.
The Omicron variant has sent markets on a roller coaster ride. Last Friday, which was a shortened session after the Thanksgiving holiday, there was a huge sell-off in stocks. Yesterday, the main indexes regained some ground. And today, they ended the day down again. The Dow and the S&P 500 each fell 1.9%. The Nasdaq lost 1.6%. But is this all just due to concerns over the variant, or is there more going on here? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal Deputy Finance Editor Colin Barr. Hi, Colin. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So, Colin, there's been a lot of ups and downs, as we said. What's on investors' minds?
I think what we have is that people are concerned that there's going to be more of what we've seen in Europe, which is restrictions on travel, pullback from the opening times of businesses, just a general sort of retrenchment. And it's going to be nothing like what we saw from the original COVID wave a year and a half ago. But people are very concerned that business is going to slow down and that's going to be bad for everybody in the market.
So is the reaction right now mostly due to uncertainty over what we don't yet know about the strain or over worries that we might have to return to lockdowns or a mix of both?
Right. I don't think that people are very concerned about real lockdowns. I think people, you know, believe that because you have a large amount of the population vaccinated in the United States and the vaccines are expected to continue to show some effectiveness, that I don't think that people are worried about the worst case scenario the way they were. But I do think that a lot of good news about expansion and reopening have been priced into the market. And so the market has become very sensitive to concerns that everything is not going along the course that it has been expected.
Today, we also heard from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, who warned that Omicron could worsen supply chain bottlenecks that are leading to higher inflation. How are markets taking his testimony and that of Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen?
I would say that that's exacerbating the concerns today. You know, this morning, before his testimony came out, before Powell's testimony was published, the market was down about 300 on the Dow, and the bond yields had fallen to about 1.43% on the Treasury, on the 10-year Treasury. Since the testimony came out, we've seen the market go down further, and yields have come back up a little bit, which is a reflection of concerns about how the Fed may have to raise rates sooner than Wall Street would like. And there's a lot of discussion about, you know, when will the Fed stop buying bonds to support the economy? And Powell said today that they may stop doing that sooner than they had expected.
What might all of this mean for retail investors and where they'll be looking to put their money? Are we seeing more movement into safe havens right now?
That's right. I mean, treasuries, as I said, have rallied a fair amount the last few days. Yields below 1.5% are a sign, once again, of some concern about the direction of the economy. That said, I don't think that most people think that this is going to be a game changer. And, you know, I think that some people will be de-risking going into year end, as they always do. But other people are going to continue doing things like options strategies. We've seen those have become very popular. It's difficult to say. I mean, we're only 3 days into this one in terms of Wall Street's reacting to this particular variant. And I think there's going to be a little while until we see how significant this pullback is. But I think sort of in general, people on Wall Street are saying to themselves, I have to just stay abreast of this, but this is not a point at which I'm going to sell everything. I think that most people are going to probably stay the course here.
And it is still pretty early to say, but we are nearing the end of the year. And what we typically see is a run-up in stocks known as the Santa Claus rally. Is that in jeopardy now? Is there anything we can say on that front?
One thing that people are talking about is the market has had a good year. And the S&P was up between 25 and 30% before we started pulling back here. And so that may limit some of the gains we see in December. At the same time, it's possible, too, that we'll get some good news in coming weeks, and that will get people back in the market. It's a little too early to say what we're going to even be talking about in a couple weeks. It's possible that we'll have a much better sense of what the threat is here in 2 weeks, or it's possible we'll still be getting new information every day that makes us think about how we reconsider the entire economic picture. So, you know, we should check back in a week or so and see where we are.
That's Wall Street Journal Deputy Finance Editor Colin Barr. Colin, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
And finally, we've talked about the hot real estate market across the U.S., but there's also a boom going on in the metaverse. Investment firms are purchasing digital property, homes, shops, and even whole cities in virtual worlds where users simulate real life. And they're paying real money for it. On Tuesday, Republic Realm, a firm that develops real estate in the metaverse, bought land in the virtual world Sandbox for a record $4.3 million. Here's our real estate reporter, Conrad Poutier.
And the hope is basically to buy in now and then, hopefully, from the investor's perspective, more users are going to join these virtual worlds. They all want to go shopping. They all want to have houses close to their friends' houses at the best locations. And then the value of all this real estate that these investment firms own is going to explode, and they can charge more in rents, and they can sell homes for more. Now, of course, there's also a lot of risk involved in this. For example, if you buy normal real estate in the real world, it can go up and down in value, but it never goes down to zero because there's always some sort of demand for real estate. But in the virtual world, the value could actually go down to zero, hypothetically, because if people stop using this particular virtual world and stop going there, your real estate's going to be worthless.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ.